Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Luke chapter 22. We're going to start in verse 7. We started chapter 22 last week. We talked about Judas's defection and how he went to the religious leaders, and they gave him 30 pieces of silver. And we ended last week by mentioning that Judas was then, from then on, constantly on the lookout for a situation where Jesus would be in a very small group of people, so that he could bring the authorities and they could arrest him without the crowds being around. Jesus was still very popular with the crowds. They thought he was the Messiah. And so the religious leaders were going to wait till after Passover to arrest him. But when Judas came, they changed their plans and they looked for a place where, again, he wouldn't be near the crowds so they could arrest him. So in chapter 22, verse 7, where we start tonight, the Bible says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed." According to Exodus 12, the Passover lamb, again, which commemorated the Jews' freedom from Egypt, the last plague, the death of the firstborn. And again, God told his people, in order to have the death angel skip your house, you kill a lamb. And the instructions were to take it. And God said, from now on, this month is going to be the first month. And on the 10th day of that month, you take a lamb. And then on the 14th day of the month, as we know the Jewish month Nisan, N-I-S-A-N now, you kill that lamb. Now, remember, the Jewish day started with the evening and then the day. So today is the 21st, first day of summer. Well, under the Jewish calendar, June 22nd, we would be in June 22nd right now. At 6 p.m., the next day started. And so the Passover lamb was killed sometime before 6 p.m. on the 14th. Okay, so they were to set it aside on the 10th day, and then on the 14th day, they were to kill the Passover lamb. Passover started on the 15th, so the Passover lamb was 6, and the 15th was 6 o'clock on the 14th. So sometime before 6 p.m. on the 14th, the Passover lamb was to be killed. That's the day. The Passover lamb was killed on the 14th. So it's the 14th of Nisan. Verse 8, and he sent Peter and John saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat." Now, Jesus had already set some things in place. Just like he'd done when he rode the donkey into Jerusalem, he had prearranged where that donkey would be and what the code, so to speak, when the disciples went to take it. And he told them when they went to borrow the donkey, if any man asks you why you're taking this donkey, you tell him the master has need of him. And Jesus had prearranged that with the owner of the donkey. He had done the same thing for the place where they were to have the Passover dinner. And so he sent Peter and John, two of the inner circle of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. But he sent Peter and John saying, "You go get ready the Passover that we may eat." And so they asked, "Where?" Verse 9, and they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he answers that question again because based on the preparations he had made. And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye enter into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water." Now, that would have been unusual. It was the women normally went to the well with the water pitcher, gathered the water, and took it back home. So for a man to be carrying a pitcher of water would have been very unusual. Peter and John would have had no problem noticing that. "Follow him into the house where he entereth in, and ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber?" Now, back in that day, if you were in the middle class, so to speak, you had two rooms, one built on top of the other. The upper chamber was called the guest chambers, where you put your company up when they came. It had an entrance with an outdoor stairway, okay? And so, where is the guest chamber, or the upper room, so to speak, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And in verse 12, and he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And so Peter and John did exactly what Jesus said. They went into Jerusalem. They looked, and it didn't take them long to see a man that was carrying water. They followed him home. They asked the master of the house, you know, where's your guest chamber? And they went up and prepared the Passover there. Now, most Bible scholars think that it was the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, that we read about later on with Paul and Barnabas. But don't know for sure, but a lot of Bible scholars think that. Verse 13, and they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, there were certain things that had to be prepared. They needed unleavened bread. They needed bitter herbs. They needed wine. They needed certain sweet fruit preserves. And then they needed a lamb, a Passover lamb. That lamb had to be purchased. It had to be approved by the priest as being without blemish. It was then slain in the court of the temple, and usually, again, historians tell us that the Passover lambs were slain sometime between 2:30 and 5:30 on the 14th, and then the lamb was roasted. So Peter and John were responsible for getting all that together and having it ready when Jesus and the rest of the disciples came. In verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Now, again, we see the picture of the Last Supper. It appears that they're sitting in chairs at a table. In all likelihood, they were actually lying on couches around the table, reclining. That's the way most of the time they ate back there. Here's what Jesus said before they ate. With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, now, again, he was going to be crucified the next day. And he said, I have a strong desire in my heart to eat this Passover meal with you. Because I won't eat another one until all this stuff is fulfilled, everything that is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Now, at this point in Luke, if you look at verse 19, Luke records his account of the institution of the Lord's Supper. Mark places the institution of the Lord's Supper after Judas leaves. And again, since the Lord's Supper is only for believers, and Judas was not a true believer, in all probability, the account in Mark, from a chronological standpoint, I don't want to say right. I mean, Luke's not wrong. He just recorded things in different order. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why, you know, God's given us four Gospels, and as we read them, we put them all together. So I'm going to skip down as we study the book of Luke to verse 24, and then probably next week we'll come back and talk about the institution of the Lord's Supper. But in verse 24, there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. So here was Jesus. He said, hey, my heart's desire is to eat this supper with you. To mark the Passover, to picture what's going to happen tomorrow. And again, I don't know if the disciples understood completely even yet what was going to happen as he was going to be arrested and crucified, but he is our Passover lamb. He said, so before I suffer tomorrow, my desire is to eat this supper with you, to enjoy, again, to commemorate the Passover, to look forward to the Passover, the true Passover, and then just to enjoy the fellowship of this occasion with you. The disciples were thinking about something else. They were thinking about which one of them was going to be the greatest. Who was going to be the chief? Who was going to be the head? And so Jesus used this occasion to teach them a truth about the difference between earthly importance and heavenly importance. He said, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. In other words, doers of good. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. Usually we think the best or the greatest is the oldest, okay? And the best and the greatest is the one sitting at the table who is served by the junior or the younger or somebody lesser. Jesus said in heaven's economy, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. He said, for whether is greater, he that setteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that setteth at meat? I mean, usually that's what we think of. They're the greater. They're sitting there to be served. But I am among you as he that serveth. He said, Jesus says, I'm the host of this meal, and yet I'm going to serve you. Now, at this point, I think, as recorded in the book of John, Jesus got up from the table and wrapped a towel around him and washed the disciples' feet. A task that servants usually did, but a task that, again, that he was showing them with a living example. You want to know how to be the greatest? Then learn how to serve. You want to know how to be the chief? Don't think of yourself as the chief. Think of yourself as a servant and serve other people. And so again, John chapter 13 records that part of the evening. He says in verse 28, I think after he got through washing the disciples' feet, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Hey, you've been with me. And all the trials that we've seen the last 3.5 years, you have all been faithful in staying with me. And because of that, I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. I'm going to give you a kingdom just like my Heavenly Father has given me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So I'm going to give you honor, and I'm going to give you authority. The honor is you get to eat at my table. The authority is you'll sit on 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. Now listen, Judas was still here at this point. Judas still had the opportunity to repent of what he'd done. He didn't have to carry out what he'd done. And I think Jesus was giving him another chance. Jesus doesn't give up. The great philosopher, Yogi Berra, said, it ain't over till it's over. And I think that's the way Jesus felt. It ain't over till it's over. Judas, you still have a chance. I think even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he came to even when he had the soldiers with him, when Jesus called him friend, you betray me with a kiss, that he was trying to give him one more chance to repent of what he'd done. And so Judas was still there. He says, you guys have been with me through all my trials. I'm going to give you a kingdom. I'm going to give you honor and authority. You're going to eat at my table. You're going to sit on the 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. Now, he knew they were going to have some. He knew what was going to happen the next day. I mean, they when he was arrested, they. I mean, Judas was the one that betrayed him, but they all forsook him. In the garden, they all ran, and then Peter was going to deny him. And so Jesus sort of gave him a preview of that when he said in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I'm sure in the back of Jesus' mind, he thought, Satan's already got Judas. Now he's trying to get Peter. He's going to try to get Peter to fall. But he says to Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew Peter was going to deny him 3 times. He knew that Peter, unlike Judas, was going to repent. That Peter was going to come back. I think Peter was already saved. I don't think that's what the word converted means in that verse, that he wasn't going to be saved. He was already saved, but he was going to repent. And he was going to come back to Christ. And Jesus said, now Peter, when that happens, you use that experience to strengthen the brethren. You use that experience of falling away and then coming back to strengthen other disciples. Of course, Peter didn't think what Jesus said was true. And he said unto him, verse 33, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. I'm ready, if it means going to jail or if it means dying, I'm ready to do that. And Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now again, it was the 15th. It was the evening before the morning. So again, notice what it says. The cock won't crow this day. It was evening, morning was coming. He said, before the sun comes up, before the rooster crows, you know, letting everybody know the sun is about to come up, you're going to deny me three times. Three times you'll say that you don't know me. All right, let me just do one more thing and then we'll quit. I apologize for keeping you just a little bit longer. All right, let me just catch up to my notes. All right, verse 23. Oh, I'm sorry, go back to verse 21. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. Now again, Jesus sitting there with his 12 disciples. He dropped a bombshell in their midst. He says, one of the people that's sitting at this table, because they all had their hands on the table, is going to betray me. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. In other words, God's plan was for Jesus to be crucified, to die for our sins. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Again, Judas was still there. So Judas heard that warning. And they, the disciples, began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. They said, and from the other gospels, they started asking the Lord a question. Is it I? Is it me? Am I the one? John was leaning on Jesus' breast at this point. And Peter motioned to him and said, hey, ask the master. Ask the master who it is. And you remember, Jesus said, well, it's the one I dip bread in the sop. They had a bowl of gravy set in the middle of the table, and you would take your bread, everybody take the bread and dip it in that bowl of gravy and eat it. And sometimes during the Passover feast, the host would take a piece of bread, dip it in the gravy, and give it to a guest as a way of honoring that guest. And so Jesus said, well, he told John, and John may have been the only one that heard him, I'm going to take a piece of bread and dip it in the sop, and the person I give it to will be the one that will betray me. And he did that and gave it to Judas. Now, from the other Gospels, the Bible says that Judas got up and left. Jesus told me, you know, what you're about, go ahead and do it quickly. And Judas got up and left. But just a couple of things as we close tonight. You know, we talked about how Jesus had made preparation for the donkey. He had made preparation for the room to have the Last Supper. I would just remind you tonight that our God is a God of detail. Our God has a will for our life, I think, planned down to the detail. Doesn't mean that we're robots and doesn't mean we can't make choices. We still make choices. And I think God, again, has a plan for our life, that he's arranged things in our life to help us learn, to help us be what he wants us to be. You say, preacher, most people don't do what God has planned for them. I know. That's why he always got a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, a plan E. I mean, he's always got an alternate plan. But I think we are going to be surprised when we get to eternity and we understand more fully how God had the details of our life planned. And then the other thing I'll point out to you, in the time that Jesus needed his disciples the most, they all forsook him. Judas betrayed him. Judas betrayed him. Peter denied him. They all fled. I mean, John stood at the foot of the cross, as far as we know, the only disciple at the foot of the cross, and because we know he asked John to take care of his mother. But the lesson to us is, hey, the going may get tough. That's not the time to forsake our Savior. That's the time to stand with him. That's the time to stay by his side. That's the time to be what he wants us to be. So thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer.